Thank you. So I am Christine Layton. We have done a ERA-funded project for the CDC that I imagine many of you contributed to the data collection process, and for this I thank you. We did a survey of immunization providers, of the state immunization grantees, to ask them about the kinds of activities that they're doing to collect data for the kindergarten school assessment. And to sort of frame it in the big picture, this is a sort of a sketch that I cobbled together, which is basically my sort of interpretation of the entire U.S. immunization system in the United States. And obviously, it's a little sketchy. But the idea is that there are a zillion components that are all trying to work together to get us from one place to another. And if you look carefully on the substructure of the bridge underneath here that has the train going on it, you have things like policies and disease surveillance and tools and all those kinds of things. And so basically assessing kindergarten immunization and exemption rates is one component of this complicated journey from disease to health. So to give a little bit more background of the project overall, ideally the CDC wants grantees to be using consistent methods across all the grantees in terms of the way that they're collecting immunization data for kids entering kindergarten, and so that there can be state-to-state comparisons. And the overarching goals of our project, which is a two-year project, we're just past the first year of it, is to determine what would be necessary for grantees to consistently collect data and to report immunization, to be able to report these data consistently, and also for us to be able to develop tools that would enable grantees to actually do that. And so in this presentation, we're going to talk a little bit about the survey and identifying best practices, which is where we've been, and also a little bit about where we're heading within the project overall in terms of refining these best practices and developing tools. So to go back to what we're talking about in terms of this survey, the goal of the survey was to identify the barriers and facilitators for the immunization grantees' efforts to collect and report data and monitor immunization exemptions among kindergartners. The survey, as some of you may or may not recall from having participated in it, had 56 opened and closed-ended questions. We did it at the end of last summer, and everyone participated, for which we were extremely grateful. The survey topics, there's a laundry list of the survey topics, and given that we had, 56 questions and 10 different categories and lots of respondents, I'm not going to be able to talk about all of our findings. But I'm going to try and focus on some of the things that I think are most relevant for what we're talking about here today. And one of the big questions that, from my perspective, we came in and said, well, okay, does anybody care? I mean, what's the relevance? What's the importance of collecting these kindergarten data? And acknowledging the fact that for many grantees, they are essentially having to meet the needs of two masters. There's the state-level requirements for school immunization, and then there's what the CDC is asking in terms of the data. And which of these requirements is motivating? Why do we want to do this? And I think that it was somewhat comforting, at least to me, to see that the vast majority of the folks who responded basically said, even if there were no requirements, we would still want to collect these data. These data are fundamentally useful for us. And there was a minority who basically said, if it wasn't for these requirements, we wouldn't be collecting them at all. And there was sort of, a range in between. And then the other question of then how are these data used? When we ask the grantees how they're using the data that they're collected, aside from, meeting requirements that, they're doing what they're told to do, the idea was, they're being able to facilitate the identification of providers, whether they're schools or communities or whatnot, stakeholders that would benefit from education. They use the data to educate various folks, school staff, providers, local health departments, you know, various other kinds of organizations and partners in the immunization process. They use the data to identify schools that are not complying with requirements and to kind of follow up as necessary. They're using the data to identify pockets of need, you know, where immunization rates are lower. And a very important part is the sort of the advocacy kinds of things, the policymaking kinds of issues in terms of decision-making on various levels. And also, obviously, looking at trends and exemption rates and identifying communities where anti-immunization sentiment might be growing or might be of particular concern. And obviously also making decisions about allocation of scarce resources. And I think I sort of, as I was blathering away, I think that I flipped up my description of these two slides. The narrative that I gave for the other slide, the bar chart, was more for this one, where basically the idea is that, you know, sort of the takeaway is that both the CDC requirements and the state requirements are you know, have equal bearing, that they're both important. And another thing to think about, and I'm going to show this diagram, the idea in terms of thinking about a schematic of data flow, where are the data coming from? One of the things that, so that, you know, it starts with the parent, the guardian, it's going to the school, and then there are all these sort of question marks. So in some cases, the data go directly from the school to the immunization grantee, and for other grantees, there's an intermediary that might be the local health department or an urban grantee, a school district, that kind of thing, that kind of serves an intermediary role between the school and the grantee. From there, the data are going to the CDC. And in many cases, there's also this question of the role that the IIS plays. And I think that that this is something that sort of I'm hearing echoing coming from the other speakers in terms of the data that the grantees are responsible for sort of collecting and working with and using, they often don't have a lot of control over it in terms of where it's coming from, because it's coming from the school or it's coming from the daycare provider. So when we think about these barriers thinking, well, ideally, where should the data come from? If you have to get it from the school or if you have to get it from the daycare center, wouldn't it be easier just to leverage an IIS, a registry? The data should be there. You can just use that. So why are we not using that? And so the idea is, in terms of the barriers for using an IIS or a registry, you know, there's an assortment of other barriers. Four grantees are actually saying, you know, we don't have any barriers. That's what we're doing. It's great. Great. For the rest, there's an assortment of other barriers in terms of specific barriers. There are some where they have it, but it's not sufficiently populated so that they're not able to use it yet. And in many cases, and in several grantees, there are issues where it's sufficiently populated, but there's not a link to the school, so they can't do that. They can't really sort of make that leap that it sounds like other folks are able, or some other grantees are able to do. Another important barrier that we've already heard talked about today is FERPA. And it was interesting to hear that it sounded like in North Dakota, if the school health nurses were employees of the health department, they weren't constrained by the FERPA requirements. And just a sort of an anecdote, not related with this project, but I know of other states where it's the absolute opposite of that, where if the school health nurse is the employed by the school, then they're FERPA exempt. So there's a tremendous amount of variation in terms of the interpretation of FERPA and what that means in terms of collecting data. And again, similarly, schools may have limited access to IIS data, and that there can be technical issues also in terms of, you know, the interoperability of different systems. So in terms of all of the, you know, of the main data challenges that folks have in terms of getting data from the schools, as much as FERPA is a problem, and certainly 19 of the respondents said that that was, you know, the biggest issue, the majority basically said that school staffing resources were the bigger issue, whether it was, you know, basically the having staff who were actually pulling the data from the records. Another thing that we also asked grantees, in addition to how they're reporting to the data, is what they want from the CDC in terms of resources. And grantees told us that they wanted to get more tools and training, that they were hoping that CDC would be more active in expressing sort of working to try and overcome issues related to FERPA, and that also that the grantees really wanted the CDC to recognize that there are just so many variations among the grantees that that it's very difficult to kind of say, you know, this is what you have to do and this is what's going to work in every situation. So where we are now is we're trying to identify best practices which will enable grantees to collect data that are valid, comparable, and in many cases these may be aspirational, recognizing that because there are so many variations among the grantees that you can't just, you know, give one standard role or one standard protocol that everybody can use. So we're identifying these through a collaborative process that's including a bunch of folks, and again, put in the plug for tomorrow's discussion, lunch discussion, and I'm looking down and the clock is ticking. You don't have to spend a lot of time looking at this other diagram, but basically the idea is, the takeaway is that the grantees, you know, the grantees, like the little blue people on the bottom, the little things, and everything is everything above them that which they have no control over. So we're trying to create or identify and recognize that these best practices are trying to deal with how you deal with all the stuff that you don't have control over, especially the stuff from the schools. So the categories that we're looking at are documentation, both of immunizations and exemptions, data collection, transfer of data, validation of data, reporting data, communicating with schools, and programmatic uses, more sort of, you know, advocacy kinds of things. Examples of possible best practices, just thinking about school data collection, is the idea of having, again, this is, you know, aspirational best practice, data collection performed by school nurses or local health department staff, schools having read access to immunization registries, notification of grantees when large numbers of children are noncompliant, and a uniform date for reporting. So the next steps for the project overall is to continue to refine these best practices and develop tools that, to facilitate the adoption of these best practices and to share the tools with grantees, which will be happening in the coming months. And also I wanted to acknowledge the other folks that have been involved with the project and are my colleagues at RTI and CDC, and thank you very much.